Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. All right, it's time for the iOS show where we cover all things iOS and beyond, and there may be quite a bit of beyond this week. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is simply Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Hey, it's just us two.
Yes, because
Jeff totally bailed on us.
He did.
With some lame excuse.
Yeah, like moving or something.
He was going somewhere, right?
Yeah, he's going.
So he claims, but it was like it went down like this, and this was all on chat, right? It's like,
yeah, right.
I have this thing in that I'm going to that I'm emceeing, and I said, Jeff, I thought that show doesn't exist anymore. Oh, I meant it was this other thing.
Yeah,
yeah. It kind of went down like that. Silly me.
Started Googling for things that were happening this weekend that he had to fly to.
I think he just doesn't like us anymore.
Yeah. The likely story, Jeff. So, but there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about this week, of course, because Apple had their event on a Thursday. They don't usually do that, do they?
Or it's been way too long.
Have they? They've done stuff on Thursdays in the past, but they're typically Tuesday events, right?
That's what I thought, but I don't know.
We don't know anymore.
It's a whole new Apple. Who knows?
Tim
Cook's gone crazy.
Fly by the seat of their pants
The event was a little bit like that. They did some outlandish things. It was boring as heck for the first 40 minutes.
And then, for some reason, Stephen Colbert popped in.
And then it made it awesome.
It made it awesome. Although, it was almost to the point where I was thinking, Craig and Stephen Colbert are just screwing around. They're just filling time.
Really?
It seemed like they had some jokes that they were going to go on, but then they just kind of...
Well, I think definitely at the very end, Colbert went off script and it was hilarious with the whole what's on my wrist thing.
I did enjoy that, yeah.
That was the best part.
Yeah, what's on my wrist right here? Oh, it's my wrist. Get to work on that. Yeah, so there was the big event and the first... Maybe the most exciting thing that we weren't really talking about before the event was the announcement that Apple will release WatchKit next month for developers.
Woo!
And that is a big announcement because...
I'm assuming an update to the simulator too, since we won't have watches to actually
put anything on. Oh, I would certainly imagine so, and I'm downloading that. Even though I don't understand Objective-C, I'll play with that watch simulator.
Are you gonna strap your laptop to your wrist?
Yeah. How else would I do it?
Walking around with like an 11-inch Air strapped to our wrist, running the watch simulator.
Try my 17-inch MacBook Pro. I'm gonna get bungee cords. But so when the original iPhone was announced, obviously there was no App Store until version 2.0. So there wasn't a situation where people could write code for it before the product was out. With the iPad, a similar situation, was it only select developers were getting special behind-the-scenes iPads? Or no,
I don't think there was any hardware. It was all simulator.
Right, it was all simulator. Okay, so with the iPad, they were able to write code in the simulator.
I would assume.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I don't remember. I mean, honestly, but I think so. Yeah.
When I had a meeting with Ken Case at Omni Group. Did you ever see their fake iPad before any iPads were available?
The little blank, like.
Yeah, they had it. It was just like a plastic rectangle.
Yeah, they had
to try
like,
and
cut
get
out
a
size or
it.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was fun. So, yeah, this will be nice for developers to get their stuff together. They have plenty of time. They're saying the early 2015, which I interpret to mean the first quarter of 2015, which means...
I think you're being optimistic.
Yeah, I would say that might be optimistic. I had my money on June.
I think they would have said first quarter, if it was actually first. I think they very deliberately did early. I'm guessing early second quarter. So my prediction is somewhere April, May.
So they wanted to say early, but not in the first half, because that seems more
first
vague.
Half makes it sound like it'll be June.
Right. It probably will.
I don't know. It's
who
all
knows?
Apple
whatever.
Speak. It's all Apple speak.
I just want them to get it done and get it good because, man.
Like Steven said.
Think about this.
Get working on the watch.
Get working on it because I'm just looking at my wrist. iOS 8 has been a pain in the butt. And even Apple said, Tim Cook said, he basically acknowledged that 8 was kind of crappy.
He did?
Yeah. He was saying, yes, we've been working on bug fixes in 8.1 and it's coming out on Monday.
To uproarious cheers from the crowd, the tiny crowd.
The tortured crowd there and at
home. I like that space. They are always a little wackier in that space because it's so intimate. You know, the press is like
it's because they're
right
home.
There.
It's their home court, right?
Yeah.
They're there usually anyhow.
Cook was doing the fashion jokes and the finger pointing. You know?
Yep.
See what I did there?
I think I kind of missed that joke almost, but was it in
apparently,
reference to his
I didn't know this, but you know they've been doing all this fashion stuff, right? And so I guess some of the fashion press maybe called him out on not being fashionable.
Yeah, not tucking his shirt and stuff.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Whatever. Let's get off that and move on to the iOS stuff, which is Apple Pay.
You brought it up. So Federighi was a shirt tuck guy, right?
Was he?
But yeah, Schiller and Cook are not. So untucked wins in the keynote, right? Is that the case?
Why? Because it's 2-1. I think whatever Craig Federighi does is correct. Because he's clearly the man with the plan whenever he gets on stage.
And Eddie doesn't tuck either, I don't think.
Yeah, Eddie just does whatever he wants because he's Eddie. He can get away with it. Same with Jaws. Whenever Jaws is up on stage, he does whatever he wants. Doesn't matter.
Well, Eddie didn't get the secret security handshake.
Oh, yeah. That was good. I enjoyed the secret handshake. That was very, very well choreographed. They got a guy who was... clearly, they got two guys together to practice really well, and then Eddie it's like, never mind. I won't go in that room.
That whole bit was pretty well done.
It was a pretty good bit.
I have to say. I enjoyed that part of the, back to
there are people who don't know what the hell we're talking about because they didn't see the keynote. So watch it and come back.
Yeah, you can skip the first 40 minutes.
Well, if they skip the first 40 minutes, then they'll miss the secret handshake.
That wasn't in the first 40 minutes.
It wasn't?
I don't think so.
Whatever.
They didn't do anything but rehash for the first 40 minutes.
That's
they talked
true.
About Apple Pay. They talked about the Apple Watch. I mean, there were a few new things there with like new banks for Apple Pay and more partners.
500
really
new banks.
Thing. Yeah.
Which is big. That's good. They say, I think this year and early next year is when they'll get these 500 new banks on. And I did not say, hey, Siri. But I just did now. Sorry, everybody. But yeah, I looked at that. So Apple typically does the slides with all the icons on there. And, they had the slides for, new in-store partners and online partners. And there was just kind of a star field effect for the 500 new banks. And
were so tiny.
I tried, pausing and going through frame by frame to see if I saw anything interesting, and it just was too fast.
You were just looking for your
dinky
bank.
Simple. I use Simple now. I'm switching from my dinky bank. My dinky Southern Wisconsin bank. Because they still won't let me use my card in California, even though I've told them I live here and everything. But anyway.
You digress.
Yeah. So Apple Pay is launching Monday with iOS 8.1. That's exciting.
Are you going to totally like try and find a place to use it?
Yeah, of course. I can go hit Panera or something. Although I feel like
you think they'll have it on Monday?
Well, they have to have the right. Oh no, it's not going to work for me because I don't have the unless Simple works day one. I guess I have a Chase card though. I can hook it up to my Chase account and go to Panera, do two things that I don't ever do. Yeah, I could try it then. But even more exciting, we already talked about this in 8.1, but they made mention of the return of the camera roll in 8.1. Which is good, I think. I think it's less confusing. What's your opinion on that, Adam?
The camera roll?
You're like, I'm over that.
I am. I kind of didn't get in the huff about it.
It was a bit irritating for me. What else? So it coming in 8.1, of course, we'll get the Apple Pay. This is listed. Instant Hotspot is listed, but that, I guess, now will work with Yosemite because Instant Hotspot has been in there all along. SMS Relay, which is very nice. I'm looking forward to that. So you can, the SMSs will, I assume, go through the internet through the iMessage server, and those iMessages will propagate out to all of your non-phone devices, which is quite nice. And are there anything else, are any other big things coming with 8.1?
No, he kind of alluded that more stuff was coming back, but the only thing that was mentioned was the camera roll. I think it was Federighi said it, he kind of made it sound like there was some other stuff.
Maybe.
But who knows? Aren't you running it?
On my iPad. So there may be some things that I haven't noticed that are phone only.
I just hope they fix the Bluetooth. That's all I care about, and a lot of people care about, I think.
I haven't had many issues with the update that they made since 8.0 that fixed it for me. What issues are you having?
It doesn't connect to things. Like, my automatic stopped working because it won't connect to my automatic no matter what I do.
It doesn't actually hook up to my my in-car OBD thing either, but I do that over Wi-Fi. So, who knows? But I've had a lot of weird things happening with iOS. Like, for example, today in the car, I was trying to get Siri to play some music for me. And I set it in a way that she didn't understand. And so she started playing, I think, some like Neil Young or something, which is fine. But I wanted her to play something else. So I asked her again to play it. And she figured out what I wanted. But mm-hmm. The Neil Young just kept coming. She just would not play anything but Neil Young.
She was just in that kind of mood.
I don't even understand how to report that to Apple as a problem. Steps to reproduce. I don't know. Moody Siri.
Siri only likes Neil Young.
Yeah.
Is that the deal?
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, do we want a third?
Nah, we'll keep it the way we are.
Okay, because she's available.
We don't want to derail the show too much.
Oh, come on. Let's derail it.
Okay, go for it.
We're going to bring in Kelly.
Do I have to do something?
No, I'm gonna add her right now.
Okay, so you have control.
I'm taking control of the show. Hey, Kelly. Oh, she hasn't picked up yet.
Adam's the new host.
I'm not in that much control. There we go. Hey, Kelly.
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome to the iOS show, already in progress. Kelly Gamont, everybody.
Yay. We have a third. How's it going?
She's filling in for Jeff. We already braided him, so we don't have to go back and do that, Kelly.
Good.
So we were just talking iOS 8 updates. And do you know if there's anything
besides the camera roll and the camera roll SMS coming continuity coming in 8.1?
Nothing I know about. Of course, I can always make smart remarks like maybe they'll fix the stuff that was wrong in the betas.
What we were just saying.
Yeah.
By betas, you mean 8.0 and 8.01 and 8.02?
Pretty close, yeah. Can you hear me out of my actual microphone and not my laptop microphone? Do I sound okay?
I think so, yeah. You sound good to me.
Yeah, I sound good.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit echoey, but that's fine. Just slightly echoey.
It's probably just because I'm sitting in the office.
That's we cool. don't have any production quality on this show.
Jeez, just talking it down, aren't you, Adam?
Okay. If we can't make fun of ourselves, who can we make fun of?
So Yosemite is out.
It's a thing.
Are you guys running it?
No.
Good heavens, no.
No.
Adam, I just asked you.
Well,
I don't have Yosemite on anything. Can you take a screenshot for me?
Oh, is that why? Oh, yeah, no. Yosemite, no. I have it on. I actually do have it on my MacBook Air, but I think it's one of the older betas. I'm not even sure if I upgraded to the GM. Mm.
Yeah, I took a day last week and did like 4 updates to the thing.
Well, since it came out yesterday afternoon, I'm at the point where the 24-hour clock has just about run out, and I have yet to hear 801 style panic about it. So I think I might do it over the weekend.
Yeah. What? Well, it had a bit more of an audience to bang on the thing, right? Assuming that any of the people in the public beta actually understood that they could respond to Apple and say, hey, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Give some feedback.
Well, it didn't stop anybody with 801 because apparently they've heard about the photo roll, the camera roll.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
It was like the Apple menu of iOS 8. Remember when the OS 10 beta came out and there was no Apple menu and there were riots in the streets?
I thought the Apple menu was moved to the center.
No. They just forsook it altogether.
Yeah. Can't get rid of that. You got to have a little Apple.
When was this?
The beta, the public beta of Mac OS 10.
Really?
I don't remember that.
Wow. You guys are good with your history.
Oh, it's vivid for me because I remember installing it and going, well, at least I can go get stuff out of the Apple menu. What the fuck happened to my Apple menu? So, yeah, I remember having a panic attack. It's not something you forget when you work someplace in your QA and they say, yeah, do whatever you want with your machine. And so you do. And then you're worried that it's all gone horribly wrong.
And there goes the clean tag.
Yep. Clean tag gone.
I didn't know we were recording.
Oh, yeah, we're recording.
I told you, this is live. You came in midstream. We're going.
This is all Adam's doing.
80,000 miles an hour. This is my mess.
I love it.
I'm going to totally own it.
It is awesome. Your mess. That's true. Okay, so.
What you get for inviting an angry Mac bastard on your show?
Hey, it's cool. That's how we roll usually.
Okay, now I don't feel quite so bad. I know neither of you were scandalized, but listeners at home, I apologize.
Mostly it's just Jeff randomly yelling penis or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he tends to do that. It's one of those things. It's like the start menu. Like, that was the first thing everybody said when they installed Windows 8 was, where did my start menu go?
Same deal with camera.
I don't know how to do anything without the start menu. Where's the start menu? And it's the same thing with the Apple menu, and apparently it's the same thing with camera roll.
Yeah, I felt that way. Adam doesn't care. But we've been talking about it for the last 10 minutes.
Well, I also don't care about the iTunes stuff that everybody cares about. But I don't want to go down that.
God,
we can't
Adam,
go down that tangent. I know.
I triggered Kelly.
Because, okay, so there's Apple has released iTunes 12.
This is the iOS show.
This is related, I think. And I put it in the list of things to talk about. Kelly doesn't benefit from the fact that there is a list of show notes. But, yeah, so 12 has been in Yosemite for a while, so we knew what we were getting into. So I have not downloaded 12 on Mavericks because I assume it is just like it is in Yosemite. Am I correct?
It is. Okay. It's exactly like it is in Yosemite.
Mm-hmm. And,
again, I don't mind it, but I guess I don't live enough in iTunes on my Mac.
So what sucks about 12? What's good? What sucks?
Sidebar!
Yeah, Kelly's going to go off
on sidebar. I'm going to just jump to the
go for
here.
It.
Yeah. Oh my God, sidebar. So,
gone, never to return ever.
So, in iTunes 11, so in iTunes 10, and I don't even remember how far before that, there was a sidebar, and it's that little part down the side where you can see all your playlists, and you can see your apps, and you can see your, all your hoo-has and your whatnots that are all happening over there on the left. And you've
got
all
between the different parts of your library. You can see your devices. You can see your playlists, you know, all in one kind of view.
It's like all there down the left-hand side. It's convenient. They've done a lot of crap to screw with iTunes. It's almost like they're trying to get people not to use it. So that was iTunes 10. iTunes 11, when you installed it, it turned off the sidebar for you. And some people like Adam probably, just happened to see that there was no sidebar anymore and went, oh, this is the way of things now, and moved on with their life.
No, I knew there was a sidebar, but I just decided it's going. I've learned from dealing with Apple long enough that when they make these kind of choices for you, they're kind of saying, okay.
Oh, you mean like taking away the Apple menu and making my photo roll recently added? Because those came back.
Right. Well, they don't generally do that. That I don't know. I've learned.
If I was holding my mic, I'd drop it right now.
Path of least resistance and just accept. Okay, this is the new way of doing things. Because then, when it goes away, then I'm not irate.
That's why we complain.
A lot of people did that, and then a lot of other people hyperventilated and then realized, oh wait. If I go to view, there's like a sidebar thing in iTunes 11, so I can still keep my sidebar because I use my sidebar because I'm one of the few masochists in the world who actually does things. With iTunes. I got really ranty about this the other day.
Are you a sidebar
on
guy?
Daily Observation.
Michael.
Yeah, I like the sidebar. I have it going. It's rocking and rolling on my iTunes.
Yeah. So Adam keeps saying things like, you know, it's gone, but it's not like it's bad. And then Dave Hamilton and I are like, what are you talking about? This is terrible. So I like the sidebar because I have a lot of playlists. I have a lot of stuff that happens over there. So I like to have it. And so finding out that not only does 12 not have that option, but that like not by default and that you cannot bring it back. And so far I have not seen anybody who says, oh, if you just bust out the terminal and fire off this defaults write command, you can have it again. I really don't want to upgrade.
That's there. Yeah. We did find the sudo sidebar though, that you can kind of have back.
Yeah, at least it gives you playlists, which is better than nothing. But
sure. This what I'm calling the sandboxed sidebar.
Well, what's the most irritating thing that you miss from the sidebar? Because there are the playlists, right? But I would imagine it's probably devices that are now in like a pop-up list that you have to click on.
Well, everything's in a pop-up list. So you got to go to the little... And the one major change is, you know how in iTunes 11, it's like a drop-down, right? In its movies, videos... It's like your standard sort of drop down.
Yeah, what the hell is
now
the point?
Now you've got
though?
These little picture tabs.
Yeah.
Like a music note, a film roll, and a TV show thing. And there's no color. Everything's
oh good.
Great.
You ever look at one of those Fisher Price laptops? Because it looks like that.
I like the design of it. I just don't like the lack of the sidebar.
I don't like that
flat.
It doesn't have any color anymore.
Yeah, the lack of color
any
sucks.
Color.
You know what?
I live in Portland, Oregon. I need all the color I can get.
My only pet peeve that I've had with it really so far is I toggle a lot between the main window and the mini player.
Oh, are you going to tell me they screwed with that too?
The little button is not visible anymore. So I don't have the keyboard shortcut. I always clicked on the little icon.
Yeah, me too.
It's still there.
Oh.
But you got to hover in that little area where it used to be.
Oh, now that should
Or actually
change.
Just hover over, you know the LCD or whatever. I always call it the LCD, but you know where the music info when it comes up when it's playing, the Apple logo. Yeah, if you just hover in that area, it will pop up in the upper left, and then you can click it and toggle. But it took me 2 days to find it.
That's really irritating.
Yeah.
Seriously, I want to feed iTunes to a wood chipper. I really do.
I felt that way for many years about iTunes.
I'm pretty sure it's just a big website, isn't it?
It's just gotten worse for me, though. Like, more and more obvious as I have to upgrade things.
JavaScript and CSS, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. I updated it on my mini, not my primary machine, but the mini is my primary media computer. So I just updated it behind me or behind the computer so I can actually get a look at it and be upset.
I like the new icon. It's nice and bright.
Get a look at it and be upset.
Yeah, the icon's nice. It's red.
Okay. Well, at least there is some color.
And continuity with the icon on iOS. There's that.
Yay.
But yeah, you'd think that
internet
they would...
radio's still there.
Yeah.
Along with Genius Playlists.
Okay, that was always crap.
Yeah.
Or Genius Mixes. That's what I said. Genius mixes.
I will say that thanks to Adam telling me how you can actually teach iTunes Radio in iTunes on your Mac, my Pet Shop Boys station has gotten much better.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't talking about iTunes Radio. I'm talking about you still have internet radio.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank God they kept that.
Got to have that. Got to be able to jump into the old-timey 20s station.
Seriously.
It does baffle me sometimes, like what they keep around, and then, you know, so they kill the sidebar, but they still have Genius Mixes and internet radio, which I know we're going to get emails now because there's like, you know, five people that
all five of those
live in internet radio. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you would think that they would learn from last update where they removed the sidebar, where they turned it off by default kind of thing. And most people
got angry
and they didn't realize that they could turn it back until they talked to one of their geekier friends and showed them how to turn it back on. But I mean, yeah. I talked to so many of my friends who were just utterly frustrated and most of the time just switched to Ardio and just swore off iTunes just because they're like, I can't figure anything out.
If I could plug in my phone and use Ardio, I would do that.
Totally. Although Ardio, like, I think the Ardio app on iOS is kind of crap.
Isn't this where we're headed, though? I mean, you look at like iTunes Match and you look at the Beats acquisition and you look at how jacked up iTunes is. Aren't we getting to the point where they just need to start over with a whole new thing?
Set it on fire?
It's probably just going to be a streaming app that lets you download certain content for offline, and you just do. Or I think we're inevitably moving to a subscription service that's maybe coupled with whatever you ripped back in the day. But I mean, once you have access to all the music on iTunes, do you even need the stuff that you? I guess the more obscure stuff, you're still going to need, you know, iTunes in the cloud or whatever it might be.
Everything on my computer is local. I don't like if I don't have Wi-Fi, I can still use iTunes exactly the same way that I use it when I do.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I listen to iTunes Radio, but I use it for playing the music that is on my hard drive because I don't even subscribe to iTunes Match at this point.
I do and I love it.
I still go a lot of places where I don't have reliable reception. So I still sync a ton of music to my phone. I do it with a cable, like a caveman. I know.
I still use my cable.
While you're at it, and while you're laughing at me, get off my lawn.
I sync to it with a cable too.
Cables are the best way.
Well, I think so too, but you know, remember the utter bafflement of people going, I don't have room to update over the air to iOS 8. Whatever shall I do? All of those people were, I'm like, you plug it in the side of your computer, dipstick. What do you think?
You can plug it into your computer? What?
Yeah, but lots of people aren't used to that, apparently. But I still do it because iCloud, ooga booga booga, because I don't like it. And I know, but I don't. And the reason I don't is actually being illustrated on Twitter right now because David Sparks is talking about how he has like zero success syncing iWork documents from device to device.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here's the only troubleshooting there is for iCloud problems. Turn it all off, wait, and then turn it all back on. It's the IT crowd troubleshooting method. And I'm like, that's it. There's nothing else that you can do. As somebody who's tried to support software that syncs via iCloud, literally the one troubleshooting step that you have is turn off the syncing on all of your devices, wait at least half an hour to make sure that iCloud itself has figured out that you've turned off all your syncing, then turn on one and then see how it goes. And then if it's okay, turn on the next one and then wait and see how it goes. It's like the only thing you can do. It's a complete and total crapshoot. At least if you're syncing via Dropbox or something else, you can usually dig up an error message out of something that will put you on the right track to help figure out what's going on. But with iCloud, you can't troubleshoot anything, which is why I was never a big fan of iTunes Match in the first place. I don't really sync a lot of iWork documents or anything like that. I do it all through Dropbox because Dropbox is just there. And the only time I ever had a problem with Dropbox was a user error with Dropbox. It wasn't Dropbox's problem. It was a Kelly problem. And it was because I was somewhere and I had turned off my Wi-Fi because I was using an air card. And then I didn't need the air card anymore. And I forgot to turn my Wi-Fi back on. And it was like, that document you worked on before isn't here. And I'm like, why not? Oh, wait, that's why. That's the only time I ever had trouble with Dropbox.
I've had almost zero issue with iTunes match. Occasionally it'll freak out. The funniest one is sometimes it will just start rotating through songs one after the other. Like it'll start it and then immediately go to the next song. And that's happened maybe twice in the years that I've had it.
Well, yeah,
and it just starts cycling really fast through your library. And it's like watching all of your album art go in a 1 second slideshow.
Oh, that's nice.
How did you fix it? Did you call an old priest and a young priest?
I just quit the music app and reopen the music app usually.
Well, it's like they're trying to warn people away from iTunes, but it's actually something that I use. Now, granted, if Panic called me up and said, "Hey, Kel, we're bringing back Audion," I'd still be doing the happy dance because Audion was glorious and Audion could have been iTunes, but wasn't. And I'm still, I don't know if those guys are sad about it, but I am, because overall, I think we would be in a much better place today, but that's just my own personal opinion. I would rather use another music player. If somebody has an alternative music player, by all means, I would like a better way to play MP3s than iTunes. And iTunes syncing is something that still happens on the Windows computer at my house because Mr. Kelly still has a Windows machine. And whenever he has to sync stuff, like, he's at the point now where he kind of dreads it. Like, he'll sit down and he'll turn on his computer and everything and it'll get ready to go. And then he'll go, "I got to launch iTunes. I have to sync my phone. Now I have to wait for iTunes to emotionally prepare." And then
you can use Winamp. What about Winamp?
To sync his phone?
Not for phones, but playing MP3s.
There is no more Winamp, though.
No, it's there.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
I thought they killed it.
No.
There was no more llama ass whooping.
No, that llama's right there.
Oh.
And you can get it for your Mac.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because the thing that was funny was at one point, Mr. Kelly was considering switching and said to me, "iTunes is terrible, and it's almost worth switching to a Mac just to get a better iTunes experience." And I'm like, that won't help. And I felt bad telling him that because I really do want him to switch to a better computer, like a Mac, because he could still run Windows, but it would draw way less power and be a lot littler, and he could also have Mac OS. And, you know, he really likes his iPhone and his iPad, so it's probably just a question of time anyway. And I'm like, that's not going to help with iTunes sucking, because you know what? It sucks just as bad over here. And I felt bad saying it, but it's totally the truth. And it's because, in my estimation, not that anybody asked me, but my opinion of why this is a problem is because iTunes started out as just a music player. That's all it did. It played music. And then it became a thing that would sync your iPod. Well, it started out to be a utility to sync your iPod, and it would hold all your music so you could sync it to your iPod. Then it became a utility that you could use to buy music you could sync to your iPod. Then it became a way that you could buy music to sync to your iPod and to your iPhone. And then it became a way that you could sync apps to your iPhone and music to your iPod. And then it became a way that you could buy movies and sync them to your iPhone or sync them to your iPod and sync all the music to your iPod and sync all the music to your iPhone. And then it became a way, like, And then. And so I really get the feeling that everything underneath is just held together with bubblegum and baling wire. And somebody at some point in the iTunes team, here's what I think is going to happen. Somebody in the iTunes team is going to make a wrong move, and they're going in the code one day, and they're going to collapse everything they've built. And that will be the point when all of a sudden Apple comes out and goes, "We've completely remade iTunes. Now you get this little utility to sync your phone, if that's your thing. And, you know, it sits in the folder like image capture, and it's just iPhone sync. And you open it up and it syncs a backup to your hard drive, and then you can move on with your life." And we've done all of the stuff in the store. The store is a separate app for music than it is for playing, just like on iOS, which turned out to be kind of a good idea. Here you go. That's what's going to happen.
Well, they kind of did the same thing with iBooks, sort of, right? With on the Mac, because I think maybe that was more because they needed to provide a way to read books on the Mac, but they did move all of textbooks into the iBooks app on the Mac. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe they're toying with that idea. I think that, honestly, I think the developers at Apple probably complain about it daily, that they don't want to have to worry about everything that iTunes does within one package, because I'm sure it's a pain in the butt to manage.
It has to be. And it only just recently became a Cocoa app. Wasn't it like iTunes 10?
Is it actually fully a Cocoa app, though?
The last I heard was that with iTunes 10, it was now a Cocoa app. I did not hear if it was full, but whether it is or not, it still took until 10.
Yeah.
And that's a long time.
You got to think there's probably still a lot of non-objective code in there still.
There's so much old encode in there. And the reason I think that is because I have an iPod 5 Gen, the 5.5 where they added video and upped the capacity to 80 gigabytes. Doesn't that sound ancient now?
Yeah.
An 80 gigabyte device.
Why would you want to watch video on your iPod?
I didn't want to. This is actually what happened was they released the 5th gen iPod and it was a 60 gigabyte model. And at the time, the laptop that I had was an 80 gigabyte hard drive. And this was still when you could plug it in as a FireWire device and you could use it to back up your hard drive.
Good times.
So I went, well, since like most of my hard drive is music anyway, and you know, and I want to be able to carry all my music around with me, then what I'm going to do is wait until they make an 80 gigabyte one, and then I can back up my whole computer to it. And since most of my computer is music, everybody wins. So I held out, and then finally they came out with the 80 gig version, which also will play video. And then that was the one I went and bought. And basically I carried around a backup of my hard drive in my pocket, which felt like I was living in the future and still kind of does a little bit because it's a very, very small device to have held an entire computer's contents. So I really like it. But every time I plug in my iPod, iTunes totally knows what to do with it. And I have a feeling it's because they've just left all that code in there. So if they left all that stuff in there to sync my iPod, I can't imagine what else is sitting around in that code base.
Yeah. Okay. So let's let's move on to something else that we're going to complain
about. So while you guys
were
doing all that, I did a search for...
you made a sandwich.
Alternate music players. There's one called Sonora.
Okay.
It sounds old timey.
Do people like it?
I don't know. It looks pretty. I just installed it.
You can get more icons. You can add icons into this top bar thingy. This non-sidebar top bar. I'm sure you figured that out.
It'll import all your... It looks like it imports all your data from iTunes, and then it lets you make this little sort of timeline list. Anyway. I think there's alternative players out there is what I'm saying that can even tap into the stuff that's in your iTunes library. And it looks like this one, you can have it every time you launch it sync for any new content that came in through iTunes.
Oh, that might not be too bad.
It seems to have a focus on album art though. And I'm more of a list guy, so I don't know.
Yeah, I am too. I'm not I have album art for everything, but I want to see all the songs. That's what I'm looking for.
It's open source. It's kind of pretty.
Okay.
They featured it on Lifehacker, who I trust.
Okay, let's talk about iPads.
Yay, let's talk about iPads.
Okay.
Gold! I'm sorry, what?
Is anybody buying a new one?
No.
So the iPad Air 2, it's thinner and has Touch ID. And the A8X.
Amazing processor.
Which looks, it looks spectacular.
Because of the X?
Because of performance.
Yeah, just showing what it could do, like the full graphic thing that they were doing with Pixelmator. By the way, Pixelmator iPad.
That is pretty sweet.
I was very excited.
Is it going to need a A8X, though, to really get good performance?
I don't think so. I think he said iPad Air, iPad Air 2.
Well, I think it's going to support other devices, but I mean, there's, you know, hey, it runs on an iPad, you know, Air, or it runs on an iPad 4th generation or 3rd generation, but you know, you're going to be waiting longer for stuff to process.
I don't know how much longer. I want to try it out. I do have an iPad Air, so I'm not interested in the upgrade.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited about it because I picked up Pixelmator a long time ago, and that's what I use for whenever I have edits to do.
So. I hedged my bets. I filled out my Gazelle today and. The box is coming, so.
Because you don't know if you'll be able to help yourself.
Huh?
You don't know if you'll be able to help yourself and not buy it.
I kind of feel obligated because people are going to ask me about it and they're going to want to know.
Okay. Cool.
You know,
you can.
And I know that sounds like a lame excuse, but it is something that I kind of feel it is part of my job. It's part of my service to the people who listen to my show to like know this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, as far as if I didn't have that, I think the absolute answer would be no. I don't need an upgrade. I mean, my air is just fine. I will say a tinge of that too is also I absolutely am addicted to Touch ID on my phone.
Oh, totally.
And I'd love to have that on everything anyway, so
yeah,
that helps.
That is a thing that I will do once in a while is stick my thumb on my iPad Air home button and wait and then be like, why don't you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's that flicker of oh, yeah, like when the power's out and you go turn on the light switch and it takes a split second to figure out why the lights don't come on. Why didn't the – oh, yeah. It's the same sort of thing. I stick my thumb there and wait, and then it doesn't do anything. So – I mean, it'll be a new processor. It's going to do a lot of stuff faster than what the Air does. I totally get that. And it comes in gold. But for like a lot of people, I think if you have an Air, you probably don't need to upgrade. Now, if you're somebody who has had a 2 for a while.
Yeah. Time to update.
And it's getting a little long in the tooth, maybe. This would be an attractive upgrade, even you wanted to go to the Mini.
Yeah.
Which is not a significant... It's a significant upgrade if you have a 2.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, you know,
so what's going on with the
full-size iPad people or Mini iPad people at this point? I think that's sort of shaked out, right? I think I've determined I'm a full-size iPad person and not an iPad Mini person.
Possibly, but do you have a 6 Plus?
I do. Yeah, I have now. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it after this year, but
yeah.
So I don't know what kind of a phone person I am, and that's part of the reason why I kept the Plus is to figure out: am I really a big phone person, and I just didn't know it, or am I absolutely not a big phone person?
Well, my guesstimation, I don't know, is because I don't have a Mini. Is that if you have a 6 Plus, it's close enough in size to an iPad Mini that you may not care so much about the iPad Mini. So if you have a 6 Plus, you may go Air or Air 2, and it's a different enough size that it fills a different purpose.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who's like, yeah, I have a 6 Plus, and I use it for some stuff, and I use my iPad Mini all the time, too. Like, iPad Air, yes. Or if you have a 6,
I think it's too early.
You have an Air.
Too early to know that, though, right?
Yeah, well, I know Dave Hamilton wrote about when he was testing them out that when he was spending his week with the 6 Plus, that he didn't do very much with his iPad Mini at all. And when he had the 6, he still had a lot of room in his life for stuff that he wanted to do on the Mini because he had more screen.
I mean, and honestly, that was another reason why I was more willing to go with the 6 Plus because I had given up my Mini for the Air because I just found the Mini, I couldn't do all the iPad-y things that I wanted to do on an iPad with the Mini.
Mm-hmm.
But then I did miss the form factor in terms of there were all kinds of things that I couldn't do on my phone that my Mini was perfect for. So the 6 is kind of 6 Plus is kind of filling that need. But Michael.
Hi.
So we were saying iPad 2.
Were we
continuing with some of the specs?
Oh, I'm on the Air, but
Air,
so but the difference
Air
is
Air 2. I called it iPad 2, Air 2.
Yeah, but so I wanted to talk about the differences between the Minis, the 3 and the 2, because the chip hasn't really changed. Not much has changed other than Touch ID and the gold option.
That's it. That's absolutely
from what
it.
I know, that's all there is that's changed.
Okay. I mean, Touch ID, that's awesome for sure.
Is it $100 awesome?
If you already have an iPad Mini 2, no, it's not. But if you have an iPad Mini, I think that it would be a decent upgrade. Because you get the A7 from the A5, and you get an M7 coprocessor for whatever that'll do on an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know why
for $350, you can get a 32 gig iPad Mini 2, as opposed to spending $500 for the 64. I guess you get more storage, but I mean you're saving $150, which is that's a significant savings, and all you're missing is Touch ID.
Hmm. Yeah, I hadn't really broken down the prices yet, but I think that, I mean, really the biggest draw would be the Touch ID, and you just have to decide if you are really looking for the Touch ID, because if you have a phone that does Touch ID, I think it's pretty beneficial. You're going to really enjoy your experience a lot more if you have Touch ID on your iPad. I know that's the only thing I'm really worried about or interested in with the iPad Air 2, because I have an iPad Air. I don't think that, I mean, it's not worth it for me to upgrade right now. I mean, when I went from the iPhone 5 to the 6, I didn't really notice much of a speed increase. It doesn't really, performance wise, other than the nice hand feel of the rounded edges and everything like that, the new form factor does feel nice aside from the bigger size, and Touch ID and in improved cameras. Speed wise, I have not noticed a difference. And I think we're kind of getting to that point where iOS devices are going to last for a long time before anybody feels like they need to update because it's too slow.
I think what's going to drive people to update is what was driving people previously, which is features that you can't get on the device that you have.
Yeah.
Like when they announced Siri with the 4S, which was 5? 6. iOS 6 had Siri, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Am I getting that right? Whatever it was, if you installed that on an iPhone 4, you still didn't get Siri with it.
Right, yeah.
And it was because the innards didn't have the horsepower for Siri.
That's what they said.
The thinking at the time. The same reason the 3GS got video in that version of the OS, but the 3G did not, was because it was a horsepower issue. And I think we're going to continue to see stuff like that, just like we were talking about with Pixelmator earlier. If I run it on my iPad, I'm probably not going to get the kind of speed they were showing in the demo, but that doesn't mean it can't be done. Right. There will come a point when it's just not comfortable. And I think that's going to be the thing that changes, is when they drop a new feature, you know, like Apple Pay. I'm on a 5S, and I have another year left on my 5S. And I meant to, and I knew whatever came out after the 5S I was totally not going to be eligible for, and I was okay with that, and I made my peace with it so that I could afford to get a new phone when it was available. And, you know, they dropped Apple Pay, but it's only with the 6 and with the 6 Plus unless you get the watch. Because the watch you can sync with a 5S. I don't know if you can sync it with a 5C. I think I want to say you need Touch ID for it, but I don't remember.
You need Touch ID for Apple Pay in any incarnation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my 5S will do Apple Pay if I get a watch. So I will still have access to that feature, but for somebody who maybe has a 5C or a 5, they can't do any of that stuff. And so that's going to be the thing that's sort of going to nudge them forward. And I think that Touch ID is one of those features that's going to do that. Like a lot of people who bought the original iPad went, oh, well, now that a camera is an option, maybe I should get one of those.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's going to happen, is it's going to be something like that. But I think a lot of people in the meantime are going to be really happy with the device they have when it comes to iPads. I know a lot of people who are. You know, I have an iPad 2, I have an iPad 3, I have an original iPad mini, whatever it is. As long as people are keeping the software up to date, it seems like they're mostly happy with it. And a lot of times the speed issues are more about, I have all this stuff installed that's all been kicking around in here forever, and I've got all these weird files sitting around that don't do anything anymore. And if I restored my phone to factory and just installed the stuff I knew I needed, things would be a lot perkier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so I want to talk about the thing I totally hate about the iPad Air 2.
Is it the gold?
No,
I don't care about the gold. It's the lack of...
He's all miffed about the stupid switch.
I use that switch...
What?
...all the time. Not for muting my iPad.
What switch?
The
orientation lock switch is gone?
Yeah, it's totally gone.
Yeah, you didn't know this?
Yeah, there you go.
Shenanigans!
Yeah, so it's gone. And I like that you use it as an orientation lock.
Because it was too thin.
Okay, can I just make a point here right now?
Can I change it with the force?
It would be nice. I was thinking maybe that little dot was maybe a fancy little double tap thing. You tap on it, it would sense that you tapped on it and would do the same thing, but no.
It's the other mic, right?
I think it's the other mic because it says it has dual mics. But if you think about it this way, the iPad Air 2 does not, well, The iPhone 6 and 6 Plus both have protruding camera lenses, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're so thin, but they have a switch. But the iPad Air 2 does not have a protruding camera lens, but it's so thin that it can have a switch. Now, which is it, Apple? Which is it, Apple? Tell me, Apple, who is listening right now.
Apple never said it doesn't have a switch. I think it just doesn't have a switch because they realized it was redundant.
Did iOS 7 turn this into a thing that you kind of don't have to have anymore because they put orientation lock and mute both right there in the swipe up?
You would have to.
Because I think that might be, if I didn't realize the switch was gone, but that's my first reaction as to why, is because I used to use that switch all the time on my Air, and because in the Kindle app I like to read landscape, and sometimes I'm laying in bed and laying sideways or whatever, and I want it to stay sideways even if I do. And so I've used that switch pretty often, but in iOS 7 I got used to doing it in Control Center, and so I don't worry about the switch that much anymore.
There's one thing that they do need to do. If they're going to make this software, why in Control Center can you not in OneTap mute the volume?
Right?
Or maximize the volume to that factor. Mm-hmm. I should be able to tap on the left side little icon for the speaker and it mutes, and on the right side one and it goes to 100%.
Absolutely.
I don't know why that doesn't exist, but I don't know. I think they figured on the iPad, less people maybe use that. I think it's more critical on the phone because you want to be able to quickly mute your device, you know, if you're going into certain situations. You know, you're in the movies or you're at a conference listening to a speaker or something like that. You need to be able to, one, sort of have that physical switch. But, you know, on the iPad, it's different, but maybe not.
I think
not.
There are similar use cases.
Maybe that same scenario is legit because you're in your class and you're taking notes.
Precisely.
And you want to make sure it's muted, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But I never used it for mute. Orientation lock because that's the thing I actually wanted.
Well, now you got to do it in software.
Man.
Again, this is another thing where my cohorts are all miffed about this, but I'm totally complacent
I'm disappointed partly because this is going to be one of those things, because this is the first time that it hasn't existed. And so this is going to be one of those things that's going to change. And now people are going to call me.
Well, you got a year to, people are going to call you, like your support. People are going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Heck?
My family is going to, if any of my family buys a new one, they're going to go, what happened to the switch on the side that made it so that this thing, and it's not there anymore. You have to swipe up from the bottom.
And then they get angry at you, right? Like, created this crime against them.
Most of the time, no. But what I'm worried about is that then I'm going to have to, over the phone, try to walk somebody through Control Center.
You have a nice family. I immediately get blamed for everything.
Me
that
too.
Changes.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, it's my fault.
Why did you do that? Why is it like that?
Oh, no, I get that. Why is it like that?
But in a way that's an accusatory tone. Like, why did you do that? Why are you doing this to me? Why do you always like to punish your mother?
Yeah.
It was fine before I knew how to do it.
Yeah.
You made me update.
That's the thing that has astounded me about some of the moves that Apple has made lately. Like, no more camera roll, which I know is coming back, but they took it away. Why did they take it away? So every member of my family who has an Apple device, an iOS device, would call me and say, when I take pictures, they're in my camera roll. Why don't I have a camera roll anymore? You told me to update.
Yeah, you told me to update. That's the best line. And you can't downgrade because Apple
is
mean.
You did this. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there is one pretty neat thing about the new iPad. So if you get a cellular iPad, and we haven't really gotten all the details on this thing yet, but there's this Apple SIM.
The Apple SIM, like it's some special technology.
It
that
seems
Apple
like it made. It seems like it is a special tech
developed.
That it. Well, I mean, it's not something that has never existed before, but I think it's. If I understand what it is, it's one of those things that you had to pay a lot of money for. That would allow you to, it had a bunch of different SIM identifiers built in and you could dynamically switch.
Right.
The way I understand it is it's a software swappable SIM, as opposed to having to have a card for Sprint, a SIM card for Sprint, a SIM card for T-Mobile, a SIM card for AT&T. You get one card that, at this point, the way I understand it, does everything but Verizon.
Yep.
And we don't know why it doesn't do
Verizon.
Right?
It doesn't have a slot on that one side
I believe
anymore.
It,
it's just like built in.
I think it does because they've said that you can, if you need to go overseas and there's a carrier that doesn't participate in the thing, you can still put in your standard SIM. You can pull it out
and
put in a standard SIM.
Oh, I thought they said it just could get activated, but I didn't realize that actually involves putting in a SIM. I couldn't find a picture of the side of the iPad with the SIM card slot. If anybody has seen one, let me know. But I could not find anywhere on Apple's site or in their PR photos a picture of that side of the device.
Yeah, usually there's a 360 gallery when they put the new stuff up. I haven't seen it where you can spin the device around and look at it. I think this is really cool. I'm confused why, at least as far as the... I went into the Apple Store app. And I went to cellular, Wi-Fi and cellular on the iPad, on the Air 2. And I went to the info button. And it says in the info button that you have to visit a Verizon store in order to get it activated.
Yeah.
But the other thing about this is that it is also unlocked. And the reason I'm interested is because this is the first time that Apple has developed something in the mobile space itself from a carrier perspective. Like mobile... Apple has driven mobile innovation in the past. Like, we're an AT&T exclusive, and we just released a phone that works on a 3G network. I think at that point, everybody knew what AT&T was going to be doing for the next year, and that was making sure that everybody had 3G. So Apple has forced innovation on people, whether they wanted it or not. But I've never seen them do something like this themselves in their own way, where they're actually the point of the mobility. The way I understand it, this is a thing that has been obtainable in Europe for some time, a software swappable SIM like this.
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome. I think it's less grief. I think it's less heartache. I think it also probably makes for a nicer design on a device if you have something like this that you can use. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out with all the carriers, but awesome. This seems like the kind of thing that is good for customers, which makes me wonder how Apple got away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, here's a picture. I do not see a SIM tray on this thing.
It's there. It has to be there.
They Photoshopped it out of all their marketing photos.
Oh my gosh.
It's possible.
I don't think it's there. I think you have to just go in and the carrier somehow can reprogram it.
Let me see here. Okay.
It's not called out on their tech spec page either.
Apple SIM card or... let me see here. iPad Air 2 with Wi-Fi plus cellular and iPad Mini 3 with Wi-Fi plus cellular can use either the Apple SIM card or a carrier-supported nano SIM card.
Okay, so that sounds like the same tray that's in my 5S because my 5S takes a nano SIM.
Hey, show me the picture of it. They must have Photoshopped it out then.
They must have.
I don't know why. Yeah,
this is on on the store page at the bottom of... it's under frequently asked questions, so it's there.
Watch the keynote. Okay. Learn about design.
Yep, it's there.
So. I'm still saying it's not.
Okay. Well, Adam, you can keep saying that.
Totally don't see it either.
And it's not called out on the tech specs page where it shows the little wire frame that shows all the ports and connections and things like that.
Yeah.
But they say it's only supported in the US and UK. So either they're selling two different versions, which is dumb.
Yeah,
and they probably don't want to do.
It's just weird that they would. I mean,
I don't
they've
think
never
it's that weird.
Photoshopped
I think they
it
have.
Out before.
No, I think they have.
Or is it in a different spot? Am I totally missing it?
You
is
might
it like
be
some
it's
secret
possible.
Compartment?
Secret compartment. I like that.
Maybe it's like behind the power, one of the power buttons. Maybe that's what that hole is.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm trying to figure out is like people are going to end up taking these to the Apple store and being like, I was trying to get out my SIM card and I kept jamming my paperclip into this hole on the side. That's the microphone.
What if it is that like the SIM's behind there? I don't know. It's not, but it's weird.
Has Oh, no, probably not. I was going to say, has iFixit cracked one open yet? But I guess not.
Yeah, they don't care.
Oh, they care. Well,
they don't care about the next sim. They're not here till next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
No. Do we know when next week? Did they? I don't know if I have it in my notes.
Their pre-orders.
They said pre-orders, you know, today, shipping next week. And I think I noticed when you order online, it said 2 to 4 days to ship. But did they give us an actual, like, it's, you can walk into a retail store and buy one on X?
There's no gallery.
I totally missed
this.
That.
I don't recall. I stopped paying attention after a while during the.
I'll bring up my notes. I took pretty copious notes, but I don't remember having that bit of information.
Remember there used to be a gallery where you could go.
I think
like, they would show.
They haven't
and
done
you could
that for a while.
Yeah, they've
click
ditched
and drag.
That. Yeah, they stopped doing that. Unfortunately.
Boy, I'm just mad and apple up one side and down the other today.
It's fine. I feel the same way.
Is anybody betrayed? I'm going to go buy a Nexus 6.
Now I got to go watch the keynote.
Anybody upset about them destroying that pencil with a laser?
Okay, that was pretty nifty, I have to say.
Yeah, that was pretty
And
cool.
I did think it was a clever callback to the original iPad Air ad, which I thought was kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at these photos. I don't see the SIM card slot. But nobody cares about the SIM card slot anymore. We'll figure it out when it comes out. So here's another thing people don't care about.
Let's talk it to death.
Apple maybe redesigning their logo to be more 3D-like.
Where did that come from?
After
so
all the
random.
Years of aspiring to flatness?
I know. That's the thing I don't get. And it's coming from Digitimes, so I think we can just leave it at that.
And we're done.
End of story.
Yeah.
That was
okay,
easy.
Here's the last one we'll talk about.
I would, before we get to that, I want to talk for a second about the logo. I really would like if they brought back the 6 color, because that's my logo right there.
Yeah, it's
I would really like if it was colorful again.
That ship is gone.
Yeah, you can color your Mac.
Is it the same ship my iTunes sidebar is on, Adam?
Yes. They're hanging out together.
Yeah, start swimming.
I love the 6 color icon. I really, really do. And
that's what I rock on my car. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I have a little stockpile of rainbow colored Apple stickers. So for years I will be able to have that.
Me too.
So when they get sun faded, you just swap it out.
Yep. The only bummer is I have moved on to the Apple Garamond ones, and I did have the original. What was the original?
Oh, that weirdy
computer-y font. Yeah. I had
those,
I ran out of those.
That's cool.
Like the Apple II font or. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Those are pretty nifty, and I know Apple at least recognizes that they have that because like we've seen it in the invite, the most recent invite, we saw it in some of the T-shirts from earlier this year, and so I would really like for that to come back in one form or another. I think that would be awesome. But that's my two bits on the logo. So there you go.
I had the colors.ca insert for my white G4 iBook too, that made it a color logo. It was like a little gel. Put in the case.
And so, who makes that? Because now I might need one.
Colors.ca, but I don't know if they're around anymore. And it's the it's Canadian, so you got to spell it with the U.
I was going to ask. Sign Solutions in print. Probably not that. Okay, so last thing on the list. Macworld, iWorld. It's gone.
Sadness.
Probably
much
shouldn't
sadness.
Be ending on a sad note here, but that's what's happening right now.
Well, we don't have to end on a sad note because there are a lot of people who are, I don't know if it's because they're empowered by being iOS developers or what, are like, well, that one might be dead, but maybe we could build something else.
Possibly. And honestly, I think it needs to happen. So, I mean, it was pretty, it wasn't that cool this past year. I mean, it was great seeing everybody, but I hadn't been since, I think I was there the first year Apple wasn't there, where it still had a good amount of steam.
2009 maybe?
I think they were there 2009. I think 2010 was when they were gone. So I was there last year. So then I went this year and I was like, man, this is a different show. And I had a buddy with me and it was his first time. It was Skip. his first time at Macworld, and he really, really dug it. And I was explaining, like, you have no idea how big the Apple booth was.
Oh, yeah.
I never missed Apple when they left. I thought it became a better show.
There were other booths that were giant. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on. It just seemed like there was a lot more draw for people to be there, and developers and product makers to showcase new stuff there.
That's exactly why it's on hiatus, I would guess, is that it doesn't have that kind of draw anymore. But that's what made it, in my opinion, a better show. And it's the trend.
Yeah.
It's the trend where shows are going. So you're getting more smaller shows like Singleton and XOXO, and you know, there's all of these sort of more niche shows, and the Macworld style show is just had its heyday, and that's not the kind of show that is sustainable anymore because of the internet and because of how quickly information can get out. I mean, it used to solve a problem that that kind of show solves a problem that really doesn't exist anymore. And it's funny that that something like CES can continue to exist in this environment, but that's a beast in and of itself. That's like in its whole
separate
category.
That's a different stratosphere. Yeah. Now, I think that with Macworld gone, you kind of have to kill it to bring back something better. So if there will be something else, but it needs to be completely reimagined. It can't be at all within the confines of what IDG thought Macworld might or could or would or should be. It needs to come from the people who really can come up with a true need for any sort of show where people get together like that.
And here's the thing is that for me personally, and I've attended the show in like every capacity. I've attended Macworld as press. I've attended Macworld as an exhibitor. I've attended Macworld as an attendee, as somebody who showed up and went to sessions and all of that. I went to Macworld as a speaker and got up and spoke. All of those were awesome experiences, but what made them awesome was that I was able to get to connect, like meet Adam in person and meet all kinds of other people. And especially before things like Twitter and Facebook were really common and an easy way to continue to be in touch with people throughout the year, this was a really nice time to get to meet people in person, particularly, you know, if you listen to people who are podcasters and things like that, getting to meet the folks behind all of the content that you enjoy and getting to sit down and finally go like, Adam, you do awesome stuff. Michael, you guys really do, you know, you do a great show and I really love it. Can I buy you a beer? You know, whatever. And have it be great. So I really want something like that to come back because really the community is what can't be beat. And that's why everybody showed up after Apple left. And it almost felt like a relief to not have Apple there because they were the focus of every single conversation. Did you see the new hotness? Did you get to touch it? Did you this? Did you that? Have you seen, you know, whatever the other thing was that Apple announced the other day? And it was really nice to be able to not have to have that conversation and just have it, you know, whenever that needed to happen. And then get to hang out with folks and get to attend a session or, you know, give a demo in a booth or write about things for as a press member of the press. And so for me, that was the part that was always the best part. And that's the reason that I'm sad. On a much smaller part of me is sad because I liked seeing all the stuff that was on the show floor because I could pick it up and touch it. I can pick up a case and hold a case and go, this is a really flimsy case. Like, this is basically decoration. This isn't something I would put on my phone to actually protect it. Or this is a really solid case. This is something, you know, and being able to see some of that stuff in person. This is beautiful, or this is really ingenious, or the way that you've done the thing that, you know, the thing you're doing is very clever. And being able to see all that stuff and have it happen. And for me, that's a thing I'm sad to see go. I'm going to be super bummed that I don't get to speak at Macworld next year. I'm disappointed that content isn't available for folks who really do want to show up and learn. But there are other things like Mac Tech Bootcamp and things like that that are smaller regional events that are sort of filling some of that hole. So hopefully it's not like it's leaving people high and dry, but there is absolutely an opportunity here for somebody else to step in and do something really great. And I hope that whatever confab gets together to do this really can pull it off. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm choosing to look at it as a possibility of getting something new, a 2.0 of the Big Mac Nerd Conference, because I think that's awesome. And I love the hanging out. The best part of any conference is the hallway track anyway, who you randomly run into, you know, somebody you can follow up and ask a bunch of questions of. That kind of stuff is great. And I'm disappointed that we won't get to do that next year in San Francisco. I'm also disappointed that I'm not going to get to go to San Francisco in March, which I enjoy. I'm disappointed I'm not going to get to hang out with you and Adam in person, at least at Macworld. There may be other opportunities, but at least at Macworld, I'm not going to be able to see you guys. What have you seen on the show floor that's great? And that stuff's going to be, I'm going to be disappointed because I missed that part.
Yeah, me too. I guess that's all I can say.
Kelly says all the
you
words.
You said it
Michael
all.
Goes, yeah, that.
Yes.
Well, because the Apple community, this is, I have been beating this drum for so very long. The Apple community cannot be beat. And I love the vibe of Macworld where, you know, you walk in, you're on the show floor, and it is like not weird at all to walk up to somebody and go, hey, what do you have on the screen? You know, what's on the home screen of your phone? Oh, what is that app you're using to take a picture of the booth? You know, being able to kind of chat with people, or, you know, you find somebody you know and go, hey, what are you looking at? And then it's like, oh, did you see what these guys over here are doing with, you know, whatever? And having the opportunity to kind of come across that stuff is really amazing to me. And that's the part I'm going to miss, is the pickup and touch and being able to kind of really get a good feel for what folks are doing. Because otherwise, you know, you go to Amazon, you buy a case, it's a crapshoot, because you can't pick it up and touch it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what, if anything, comes out of it.
Something will.
Something,
I don't think anybody's
something will.
Gonna and that
I mean,
slide.
There's definitely the meet people and hang out thing, but there's also the getting your hands on products too, and it may be that it should be done in a very low key sort of way, like, you know, each vendor that decides to be there has maybe two of each case and you can go see it, or one of each speaker that you can check out, kind of thing, but super low key and maybe only 2 days kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I think the year or the years of the vendor supported, vendor attended shows are pretty much gone.
Well, and the vendors weren't really supporting it, especially this past year too. I mean, feel like
again,
when
this is what leads to the show not existing anymore, because that's how it always worked in the past.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the majority of the, yes, you made some, you maybe got some funds to help break even on your conference sessions and things like that from attendee fees. And also you had the driving down of pricing, right? It got, you know, after the big names weren't there, then it got harder to get the big money from attendees. So pricing went down. So you relied even more heavily on vendor support for those booths and things like that to help subsidize the cost of the thing.
Show.
You know, I don't want to speak for IDG and Paul and those guys, but that, you know, that's my assumption or my guess, you know, just, mm-hmm. It makes the most sense, right? I mean, that's how these things get funded.
Yeah.
You know, the booth and the floor space and plus the attendee thing and all that, you got all that stuff together, and that's where you're covering your costs and maybe hopefully making a little profit so that you can have the next one the next year. And, you know, when all that stuff starts to go down and, you know, the flip side too is you've got developers and people who are not able to charge for example, software what they used to charge, you know, so
right.
They're not making $50 a copy on software anymore. They're lucky if they're making $5 or $0.99. And so then you've got to start to make it up in volume, which
they
can't
afford a booth. Yeah.
Well, I mean, which is why, I mean, to their credit, they tried to adjust to the new medium, and they had, you know, the whole app, you know, Appalooza, and it was even Appalooza got Microtown, you know, and mm-hmm. they tried to address that, but then you have to get, you know, a magnitude of X more people to get that little space to cover the same cost that you had for, you know, one Apple or one Microsoft.
Right.
And not just X, it's, you know, 100X or 1,000X.
Yeah.
Right. So, just the economics of these shows just aren't going to work anymore. So that's why I do think you're seeing more niche, more content focused shows and events sort of working out again. Things like the Singletons and the XOXOs and you know, some of those other events that are happening here and there. I think that's the future. And I think we need a Mac version, a very Mac community oriented version of one of those. And that's the show that I want to go to.
Okay, we're going to have it in Portland.
Portland's a good place.
I'm going to tell you right now. Because that's what Portland does. We build stuff. When O'Reilly was here, they did OzCon here. Open Source Conference. O'Reilly's big deal every year. They did that here for 5 years in a row. The first one was here. It got bigger and bigger. They continued to have it here. And then 1 year, I don't know what happened. I don't presume to speak for O'Reilly, but it kind of felt like... nobody wanted to come to Portland in the summertime, which, let's be honest, is really not that bad. And so they had it in San Jose the following year. Like at the end of the fifth one that they had here, they said, next year it's in San Jose. And they said it was because they needed a bigger space. And then they had it in a smaller space in San Jose. So a bunch of people in Portland went, that's really dumb. Let's build our own. We like having an open source conference in Portland in the summertime. Let's do it. And now we have Open Source Bridge, which is an equally awesome conference. And it only took O'Reilly about 20 minutes to see the error of their ways, because after they had the one in San Jose, they came right back here. And now we have two. And they coexist peacefully, and it's fantastic. So I can totally see Apple or Portland supporting an Apple event like that. We're already full of nerds. We got three Apple stores.
All right, get on it, Kelly.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll
talk to you next year.
Yeah.
All righty.
Okay, so you
guys are coming, right?
Maybe.
Oh, don't maybe me, Johnston.
If Adam gets his podcast trailer, I'll hop in the back and he can drive me up there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
So we should do our iDevice picks and wrap it up.
Yeah, I got to get going.
I didn't tell Kelly that we do this because she just kind of popped in, which is cool. But I'll let Adam go first, and then I can do after Adam if you can't come up with something, and then...
I can't figure out the show. What did I do last week? Or the site?
You've had this entire time to look.
I was trying to find it on the... I couldn't... Not the show. I couldn't figure out the site.
TheiOSShow.com?
Yeah, but what was my pick last week?
You just go to the thing. This is for everybody now. Go to the website, TheiOSShow.com. Scroll down to the bottom of every show, and it says...
Oh, see, I did pick that.
Daddy
okay, I know what I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick... So I've been having this dilemma, right? Because I've got the iPhone 6 Plus,
mm-hmm.
and certain apps aren't updated yet.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to name this one because I really want them to update it.
So you're just calling people
normally
out.
I wouldn't like call people out like this, but this needs to be called out. So I forever have used Reader as my news reader on my iOS device.
People use RSS still?
Simmer
that's
down.
How, that's how I do everything for the show.
I don't know how
and
to function
I need really specific features. I need it to be able to integrate. So I use Feedbin as my source since losing Google.
As do I.
And you know, it has like folders. And so I have like an Apple folder with all my Apple feeds. And not only that, I have, you know, I need to be able to look at just the unread items in my Apple feeds. And so I need a podcast app that'll do that. And Reader's always handled that really, really well. And I need to be able to star things and sort of shuffle them off to get them organized so that I know what I need to take notes on. The problem is that since upgrading to iOS 6, Reader app has not been updated for iOS 6 and like 20
do you mean iOS 8 on your iPhone
or 6? iOS 8 on my iPhone 6. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm so angry. I can't even talk right. No, not really. I'm really not this mad about this stuff, but it is frustrating because, you know, I went fine. Okay. It's not updated and I've sort of been waiting. And I think more what triggered this was, so I checked on Twitter and he said like 20 some odd days ago, yeah, we're working on an iOS 8 update and I just haven't seen it yet. And so I just kind of very friendly said, hey, any update on, you know, when that's coming? Mm-hmm. And it's been crickets. So every time I have to go open the Reader app and I see the giant, you know, like 36 point text, it drives me crazy. It's Netflix.
That's why you got that phone though, Adam. It's because you're old.
I could have like 5 more feeds at the bottom if it was optimized, right? So a bunch of people have been recommending different apps. And finally, someone recommended Newsify. And it is optimized and it is beautiful. The only downside was that it only integrates, I think, with their own sort of service and Feedly. But luckily, I had already synced my, because Feedly had a really good sync when you moved away from Google Reader. And so all my feeds were actually already synced over there. So I just had to switch over the accounts. And then I also had to hook up ReadKit on my desktop, which is the one I use on my Mac. For accessing all this stuff. So I just switched over to Feedly, and now it works beautifully. And it's free, ad-supported. I haven't bought it yet because I've only been using it for a couple of days, but I'm going to pay. It has an in-app purchase to get rid of the ads. And the ads aren't really bad. So, I mean, if you want to stick with the free version, you can. But, you know me, I'm all about supporting developers who make really cool apps. And it's beautiful. And Feedly allows me to do, you know, look at just the unread items in a certain category and to star the things. And the best part, again, also with the 6 Plus, is that you can set up a gesture for activating certain events. So like one I use all the time is going into readability mode on an article. And like Reader, the readability button, I think, is way at the top of the UI, which just doesn't work on the 6 Plus, especially one-handed. Newsify lets me assign a swipe gesture. So I just swipe to the left on an article, and then I'm in readability mode. And I can do that from anywhere on the screen.
Nice.
So it works beautifully. And they've got a lot of really nice themes and other fun stuff. So I'm still exploring the app, but so far I'm very impressed. And I had tried a few others that people had recommended, and this was the first one that kind of clicked for me and went, yeah, I could do this instead of Reader app. I still like Reader app. I'm just hoping they'll update it. And, you know, maybe after they update it, I'll have to evaluate the two. But now I have a new player. So if you're looking for something and you're in my boat and you've been frustrated by Reader not being optimized for the iPhone 6, then take a look at Newsify.
Awesome.
So which is the pick, Feedly or Newsify?
It's Newsify.
Okay.
Newsify. RSS Reader app for iOS.
Cool. All right. I'll put that down. And my pick is kind of related, but Adam might scoff at this, but it's the new Alien Blue for Reddit.
Ooh, I love Alien Blue.
Okay. Because I know you kind of scoff at my Reddit usage.
No, I didn't scoff at your Reddit usage. It's just I had also picked...
Because you use Reddit differently than I do. I use
Reddit differently than you do, and you made fun of my Reddit pick.
Okay, maybe it was me. I have it all backwards. I was the jerk. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So for those of you who...
haven't yet heard.
Sign into Reddit and subscribe to subreddits and do that whole business instead of just going to the front page, then I'm sure you've used... Alien Blue, because it's, even though the UI is totally sucky and insane sometimes, totally nutso sometimes, it's the best one that's out there. And I think part of it is just because the guy who writes it has done an incredible job. He's a programmer by trade. He admits that he doesn't really know much about UI, which explains why there are all the features and a lot of it is hard to figure out. But there's good news because I think it maybe was 6 months ago. I was talking to a friend of mine. I was saying, you know, Alien Blue is cool, but it kind of makes me crazy sometimes. We should maybe develop our own Reddit app. And he said, well, maybe Reddit's doing that on their own. And I checked. And then about 3 weeks later, Reddit announced that they were going to be making their own app. And that lingered on and on and on. And nothing ever came of it. Well, this week they announced that they bought Alien Blue, and I believe they hired John Alien, which I assume is his the name of the developer, to work at Reddit. And
the guy for this, right?
Yeah, and I assume they're going to be lending support via their. Well, I think the guy said that it'll be nice to work with a team that will. That has user interface experience and who specializes in that. But I think that's kind of funny because Reddit is the most basic website ever. But
it kind of is.
Either way, I think it'll be a good thing.
Yeah,
I do too. And there are new versions of both Alien Blue for iPad and iPhone. They're both free. So, and I think that's probably the way it's going to stay, is all the features are going to be free because it's supporting Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you don't have it already, go grab it. And I guess I haven't really played with the new versions. I don't know if you have, Kelly, but the I know there was a little bit of concern over some of the new features or the new UI in it.
I've heard the concern, and I haven't spent enough time to really get to the bottom of, is it concern because it's different or concern because it feels as though it's a step backward in some way?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't even really see any of the differences, honestly. I see that it's has wood in it. I think that's just because it's not in night mode.
Possibly, yeah. I haven't spent a ton of time with it yet, so I haven't had a chance to check that out. But I've heard some people who have said good things about it too. So it's entirely possible that maybe this will end up being. Ultimately, we know it's going to be a step forward because he's going to get to work with a UX team, and that's awesome. So I'm looking forward to seeing where it's going, and I hope what we get is improvement and not the Twitter app.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's going to happen. Twitter and Reddit they seem like totally different mindsets.
Yeah. So I'm hoping we don't end up with something along those lines. So.
Definitely.
Don't screw it up, Reddit.
It'd be really hard to screw it up. You'd just have to, I mean, because the UI is already kind of a giant mess of everything.
That's true.
And I mean, they'd have to strip features and then make it more confusing, basically. They'd have to remove all the up and down vote buttons. If they removed those, then it would be worse.
Worse for who?
Everybody. All of us at the same time. Yeah.
Feedworthy was the app that you made fun of me for using.
Yeah, just because there was no way to sign in and there's a way to sign in, but you couldn't look at any of your subscriptions.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. Maybe you can now, but you couldn't before. Anyway.
You can search subreddits.
Well, you can't get... you don't use Reddit, do you?
This is where we were at before. Yes, I don't use it the way you use it. Absolutely. Okay.
You mean like a user? Look at the front page and move on with your day?
And you think, think that you've used Reddit? We're talking to the old guy now.
I look at certain subreddits, but...
I look at the Jurassic Park subreddit every once in a while because they're talking about the new movie.
Is there really a new movie?
Totes, yeah. The Jurassic Park 4, it's coming out next year. It looks awesome.
Okay. Who's in it?
Besides
Velociraptors.
Obviously. What's his face from Parks and Rec? Andy. He's going to be in there. Chris Pratt. He's in it. And other people.
Chris Pratt and more.
Yes. I think that's how it's being billed.
I can't say I blame him.
Chris Pratt and other faces you will recognize but not understand the names of.
Yes.
So yeah. Kelly, do you have a pick?
I do indeed. This is an oddly specific pick. It's a music player called In Play, and it's In:Play. And the reason that I think it's nifty is because it turns your whole screen into the controller for your music. So I like this because I am a person who uses my phone to play music in my car. In this way, I don't have to look in order to do anything. The buttons in the music app are kind of small. If you're driving and want to try to be able to navigate anything, you have to be able to not look while you're doing it. And so I found this app and I really enjoy it because the whole thing it does is, like I said, it turns your whole screen into the controller. So you tap on it for play and pause anywhere on the screen. If you swipe from right to left, it takes you forward a song. If you swipe from left to right, it takes you back a song. And, you know, before you go anywhere, before you're doing anything, I like all song shuffle on my device because that's how I am. I'm kind of ADD, so I want to hear all the different stuff at the same time. If you don't, you can choose to play by artist or play just one album. Or, you know, if you have some other sort of more organized system that you want to use, you can use only like a single playlist. If there's one particular type of music you like in whatever situation, you can just do it that way. And I think I want to say that it's a dollar. I'm not going to be able to confirm that all of a sudden. But it's an app that I really like. I've been using it for a long time. I used it on my 4S and now I have it on my 5S as well. And I really like it because it's super easy to use and it writes everything on the screen really big too. So if you maybe don't recognize a song, you can glance really quick and see it. It's got a day mode and a night mode. And I like it a lot because it's one of those, it does one thing and it does it really well. So it plays all my music for me. That's all I want it to do. And I want to be able to control while I'm not looking, which I can also do. So that's my pick.
Neat. What's the price on that?
I'm trying to verify it now, but it's taking forever to launch iTunes. So
you go to Appler instead. That's what I do. It's free.
Oh, that's what I should have done. So what it... The app, the site for the app is bigbluecouch.co. Oh, yeah. And it's $1.99, it says on the bottom of their site. I like that it has day and night mode. I like that you have, shuffle or not. And you have on-screen volume control if you need that too. I just really like how straightforward it is to get to use. And so I like it in the car. And I also like it... because I will listen to music on my headphones while I'm mowing the yard. And this way I don't have to look, like, stop the lawnmower, pull my phone out of my pocket, look at it, try and find the button, see if I can hit the button, and then rinse repeat until I find the next song that I like while I'm mowing the yard. Because mowing my yard, I have a lot of yard. It's not a small undertaking. So I need a lot. So it's nice to be able to... I have a particular pair of shorts with giant pockets. And if I'm wearing those, I don't even have to take my phone out of my pocket. I can just... I know the screen is on this side, hit it with my thumb and call it good, and it's great. So being able to control your music in situations where you don't necessarily have unfettered access to your phone, super duper handy.
Cool. I think it is free right now. It says one thing on their website, but it's free right now. So.
Oh, fantastic. Even better.
So yeah, check it out. And with that, you can find all of the iPhone picks and the show notes at theiosshow.com. You can review the show in iTunes, of course, and tell a friend if you enjoy the show. Let them know that they should check it out too. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the email address to which you can send feedback, questions, comments, tips, and all that kind of thing. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Of course, check out this month's sponsor, which is Smile Software with Text Expander 3 for iOS with the custom keyboard, which is super cool. Kelly Gamont, that's how you do it, right? That's how you pronounce it, Gamont. She's usually at the Mac Observer, right?
Yeah.
That's your primary gig.
Yeah.
Cool. So you can check her out there. And I think we write tips. She does more tips than I do. She usually steals the ones that I'm going to write before I ever get around to it.
I didn't mean to. What actually happens is a member of my family calls me and says, how do you do this? And then later I think, you're probably not the only person who is asking that question.
Yeah, that's
and so
how
then I go
too.
Write them up.
Yeah, it's all good.
You can also, I will point out though, you can also find me on the podcast I recently started with Mike Rose from TUAW.
Oh, cool.
Now that there's no more Tuwa Talkcast, the two of us decided to get together and keep hanging out and recording it anyway. And you can find us at aftershowpodcast.com. It is called The After Show, and we're in iTunes.
Cool. Check that out. And at Verso on Twitter, correct?
Yes.
There you go. And Adam Christensen, he's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter. And member.matcast.com is the member show.
Yep.
Ooh.
Thanks.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. GetAppler, GetAppler.com is where you can find me and Kelly and Adam and everybody. on the planet. Let's just say that. Everybody is on Appler. Check it out. Everybody but you. You need to go check it out. Whoever you are, you know who you are. And see the apps that we enjoy and share your own. So with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show. An iPod. An iPod.
Internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Who wants a stylus? Stylus, 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 stylus. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, 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 yuck. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Yuck, no. No, 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 no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers. Our fingers. Fingers. Yuck. Their fingers. Fingers. Yuck. 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 An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet. An internet. Communicator. An iPod. A phone. Are you getting it? An iPod. A phone. An iPod. A phone. An internet communicator.